Hey, 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 this is NFL Hall of Famer Ray Lewis. I'm excited to announce the launch of my new podcast, Everyday Greatness, the Ray Lewis Podcast. I'll be talking with friends, family members, old teammates, athletes, celebrities, moguls, and guess what? I'll be talking to you. Listen, this is all in the search for everyday greatness. So I'm asking you to come along with me on this ride. Download new episodes of Everyday Greatness, the Ray Lewis Podcast, every Friday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on PodcastOne.com. It's not what you have, it's what's inside of you that actually inspires greatness.
So, yeah, today we talk a little bit about hydroxychloroquine and how angry I am at the press and the government for interfering with the practice of medicine. It makes me insane.
That's coming. First, I'll tell you about Tommy John. Tommy John, man, you're working from home. You're moving around. You're putting a little strain on your underpants there, aren't you? Yeah, I know. I'm doing my rowing machine every night. Tommy John. They know that life has its ups and downs, and they've improved their men's underwear, making it more resilient, two times more durable than the previous pairs were. And I can tell you, I wear mine all the time. It's light, it's comfortable, it's durable. And I've worn a few pair out again.
You admit it.
I admit it, but now they're two times more durable, so good luck to me doing that. All Tommy John loungewear and leggings are built for next-level comfort. Yeah, the loungewear is really comfortable. Oh. The underwear is fantastic. So like I said, if you're taking walks,
I need to get some.
Jogging, you got to get the loungewear.
Yep.
They got the best pair you'll ever wear. It's free guarantee, right, man?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/ADS for 25% off your order. That's TommyJohn.com/ADS for 25% off orders. TommyJohn.com/ADS. See site for details.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Get it on. Woo-hoo! Hey, Buzzaboo.
And yeah,
blah, 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 blah. What's going on there, Drewski?
You know, do you ever get – you don't run, do you?
No, I would a little bit.
I've gotten this hip stuff going now. Everything's hurting when I work out now. It's really troubling me. Mm. I don't know. You wait.
I feel it. I feel it too. I do the rowing, which is kind of low impact. But yeah, I can feel it. So go ahead, Drew.
I've been using the Theragun, which they kindly are working with us, the Dr. Drew podcast. Really, really helps. I'm going to get you on that.
Been using the what?
Sorry. Theragun. Those
massage. Oh. Yeah. You know, one thing that is an incredible blessing, and I never think of it, is I literally have zero back pain or muscle pain.
Yeah. See, I have constant.
It was a funny thing. I got Matt, good Matt, regular Matt, shorter Matt. Matt DeAndrea, he got me one of those Theraguns, like a nice one for Christmas.
Like this one?
For my birthday.
The little one or the big one?
He got the big one.
Yeah.
He got the big one. And he got it for me, and he gave it to me. It was a nice gift, thoughtful, expensive, and whatever. And I said, you know, thank you very much. I will just never... Oh. I'll never use it.
You really don't have that stuff.
And I just said, thank you, though. Mm. And then I did what I'm always over the moon about doing. I'm like, and you people, everyone who thinks I'm a dickhead should listen to my actual wiring. My actual wiring is I appreciate this gift. I feel weird kind of telling you I'm just not going to use it. But I would love to give it to someone who would use it, and look no further than Olga, the 55-year-old nanny who could use it. And then she said, could I take it? And I said, it's yours, and it made me happy. He didn't take it back. We didn't waste something. You know what I mean? It's like all I wanted was for it to be used, but I knew I wasn't going to use it. And thus, I'm happy. I'm happy. I don't know. I don't think of it in terms of like, well, why does Olga get your gift from friend?
No,
you know,
yeah.
I'm happy she has it, and I'm happy it's being put to use, and I'm done. That's it. I don't need any gifts from him. So I'm a hero.
So what's up, Gary?
My wife has one of those too, and they're absolutely
ridiculous.
Excellent. I've used it too,
and either used to be noisy. My dogs. I've used other brands and would chase my dogs out of the room. This one's quiet. So hydroxychloroquine. I got in another shitstorm because Trump went, I'm on hydroxychloroquine, been on for a couple of weeks. I hear it's okay. I worked with my doctor on it, and he said a couple other things about it. And I went, yeah, he's right. Everything he said is just factually true. Just simply factually true.
Well.
I took shit for that.
Yes.
Since when – and physicians not allowed to have medical opinions, and when do fucking Twitter users and press get medical opinions? I found an article from right around the time all the lockdowns occurred, but the headline is New York Times editorial board demands a lockdown. Mm. What? Who the fuck are they – we shouldn't be listening to them. They have no medical experience. What are we doing? This is where I've been outraged all the way along in this whole thing. I saw this coming. I saw the press mandating medical decision making. And now around a common medication I've been prescribing for decades, people are saying the medicine I've been using for decades, never seen a single side effect. I cannot say that of Tylenol. I cannot say that of aspirin. I cannot say that of Xanax, anything else. I've never seen a side effect from Plaquenil, ever.
Say that again.
I've never seen a side effect from hydroxychloroquine.
Okay.
And I have prescribed it for 35 years, sometimes many times, sometimes over years of daily use. Not one side effect.
Well,
is that a lie, you fuckwads? Am I lying or is that my medical experience?
Well, that's – look, first things first. We were talking last show about being able to sort of break things down, go in order, use reason, be deductive. Okay, first things first. This, let's not call it hydroxychloroquine. Let's just call it
the red pill.
The red pill. This red pill has been in use since commercial airliners had propellers. That's
the chloroquine was, which is a version. It's the first version. And chloroquine is the anti-malarial we used to use. I prescribed that hand over fist too. And by the way, that's over the counter in many countries where malaria is common because it's so safe.
Well, a version of it.
Chloroquine is over the counter.
Right. I don't know how much difference hydroxychloroquine
is safer.
Okay. A less safe red pill has been in use since commercial. You know, Howard Hughes was alive and he was working on planes that had propellers and seeing if he had enough fuel to get from L.A. to New York. That's I don't think, Gary, in 1955, commercial airliners were jets.
Memory serves. It's a few years later.
It's a few years later.
It's late 50s, okay. But like 59.
So Howard Hughes was banging starlets, and we were getting in planes with propellers. Okay, that's how long this pill has been around.
Correct.
And in that time, millions and millions of people have used it around the world.
Correct.
And especially around the world.
Correct.
Because of malaria. And they've used it prophylactically as well.
That's the main reason it was used.
Take it. So your assertion that this is a dangerous pill to consume, that's going to be a tough sell for this podcaster. That's going to be real tough because there's so many hundreds of millions of units have been consumed already.
That's just the malaria side. There's a whole rheumatic disease side where that's what hydroxychloroquine was designed for. Same thing. And more. That one was daily for years.
Yes. There are then many, many doctors who've been prescribing this to their patients who suffer from other diseases. And that's been going on for years.
Decades.
With
patients. So we're talking about hundreds of thousands of patients.
Right. And every one of them says no side effects, no issues.
Only side effect. We have them see the ophthalmologist once a year because there was a risk of corneal deposits. Never happened. And there's a unpleasant retinal damage they can get after 10 years.
Okay.
Never saw it.
So now it sounds utterly safe to me, this pill in and of itself, the red pill. Now you can say, well, it's not been tested for this, for coronavirus. It's been tested for that.
Right.
And so to me, it's like you saying, I've taken salt tablets every day, but it's not tested for fever. It's tested for strep throat. And I'd go, yeah, but I don't think that makes the tablet dangerous. It's so many people consumed it. I don't know how it interacts with the disease. Like, what are they saying?
So the FDA, that's the way we proceed in medicine. We always have to prove that in a particular clinical setting it's safe. They saw some cardiac phenomenon in – which is common in COVID. They saw some and thought, oh, and it didn't seem to improve outcomes. So caution. FDA issued caution that you shouldn't be necessarily prescribing it, though thousands of doctors are continuing to prescribe it. The FDA said no. FDA does not determine how we practice medicine. FDA controls drug companies. They give us guidance that help us with liability. They do not tell us how to practice medicine. They do not. So doctors use stuff off-label or it's called off-label all the time.
Right. Okay. So in
– and by the way, this is a prophylactic situation with Trump and his people. It's not in the setting of acute illness. So they've only rendered an opinion if you have severe COVID. Then they're saying caution. In prophylaxis, they haven't rung in yet.
Right. Then I spoke to Dr. Zelenko on my program, and he was explaining his sort of triple cocktail, for lack of a better term.
Zinc, Zithromax, and Plaquenil.
Yes, and how much success he had with it, with some caveats, which is do it early, do it often, don't wait till someone's needing to get on a respirator.
And I have prescribed it in COVID cases. One was a bad – it had nothing to do with the Plaquenil, but it did not go well. The other one's fine.
Okay. So first things first, we are not talking about taking it recreationally. We're talking about doing it to potentially prevent death. So those of you in the media, get your fucking story straight. Is this thing a first-rate killer? Is COVID coming for you? And if that's your story, and it seems to be your story, then what's wrong with extreme measures, which, by the way, aren't extreme, but what's wrong with measures to prevent it? So CNN, you're reporting two stories. One is this thing's a killer and it's coming for you. The next story is there's this medication that might work, but we don't think it works. It's too dangerous. Don't use it. Well, which story is it, CNN? You got to get your story straight. If the shit's coming, it's like saying the zombie apocalypse is upon you. They're tearing your front door off. That's CNN's story. Then Trump says, well, pick up an axe and go after them. And CNN says axes are dangerous. You could cut
axes
your hand.
Axes kill.
You could cut your hand.
Yeah.
You could hurt yourself with that axe. And then what we're saying is why don't we just let the professionals handle it? Why don't we just let the doctors deal with their patients?
Since when does the press and Twitter practice medicine? Since when do they even – why do they even think they can render an opinion?
Here's my bigger question. You want to know where all the flowers have gone? Long time passing. Where did all the certitude come in? I turn on MSNBC, the middle-aged chick behind the thing is speaking about hydroxychloroquine as if she's a seasoned veteran.
They've used it for years. Oh no, that's me. I've used it for years. Well, so how'd you come to your position then? I've used it for years.
You have, right?
How did she get to her position?
She found out something 10 minutes ago and is speaking like the world's leading authority in hydroxychloroquine. Where's all the certitude come from? How did you imbibe this much knowledge about something you had never? First off,
never heard of.
You couldn't pronounce it
until
someone said it out loud. You couldn't read it and pronounce it 10 minutes ago. How do you know so much about this? Mm-hmm. And how are you so sure of what you know about this? The answer is you're not. You're lying.
Or worse yet, Dunning-Kruger again. This is that certitude that's based on nothing.
So then there's a study that's done, but the study that's done is done on people that are essentially dying.
And without zinc.
and without zinc. So it's not what Dr. Zelenko was talking about.
There was one study that was pretty good and did not show any significant improvement. But it's hard to show improvement because 99% of people improve. So how do you do better than 99%?
Well, right? Then
– you have to have big, big numbers to show that.
Then it just comes down to a very basic question, which I've heard my friend Dennis Prager ask a time or two. Because he'd have doctors calling in and they'd be arguing with him, you know. And he'd go, if a family member came down with this, would you prescribe it to them? The answer is always, that's not what we're talking about. It's like, well, first off, what we're talking about is whatever we're talking about. And the last thing I talked about was a question asking if you would provide it to a family member.
The answer, of course, is yes.
I don't know why.
Of course. Or themselves. Many of them are taking it themselves.
Right. And then there's another study where I think 3,000 people at a facility were all on it. Okay. Now, look, I'm not a scientist. I'm looking at the news. I'm listening to what CNN is doing and MSNBC is doing and what other doctors are saying. And I have deductive reasoning, and I figured out this stuff is fine and would immediately get on it if I thought I was in danger.
Sure.
Okay. That's what I know. That's what I've always known. Mm. Now, why there needs to be a campaign against it suggests to me, you can talk all you want about Russian collusion or CNN or Fox. They got their angle. CNN's got their angle. The fact that there was a campaign, a smear campaign, launched against an innocuous drug that may prove to be important and helpful is 100% proof that CNN is against Trump and for the Democratic Party. It's just that's all you need to know. There's no logical explanation. There could be – look, I'll put it to you this way. Obviously, if Biden – had endorsed hydroxychloroquine, would we have a smear campaign? If the answer is no, then that's what's going on. Now, I would accept a debate. I would accept people on both sides. I would accept whatever discussion you want to have. A smear campaign against something that is innocuous and has been proven to help in many cases, that's insane. I heard a physician in Texas was trying to get her patients on it, and they wouldn't give it to her. You know, the pharmacy said, hey, the FDA says no, you know, or whoever the regulatory committee is.
That's not the pharmacist's job. The government must put something in.
Well, what happened was is then it became politicized, and now people can't get it who want it, and physicians who want to prescribe it, can't prescribe it.
That's
and
crazy.
Now we're getting into a body count and because of a smear campaign.
And let's remind ourselves, the original smear campaign, do you remember the original logic of the smear campaign?
No.
The people with lupus and rheumatoid arthritis won't be able to get their medicine.
Oh, right, because it's all going to be gobbled up.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, if it's such a horrible medicine, shouldn't you want to take them off of that horrible medicine?
None of it ever made sense to me other than Trump – said, and by the way, also
– I don't give a fuck what Trump said. I just don't like them thinking they can dictate medical care.
Well,
it really is so distressing.
Trump –
it's too much.
He made an offhand comment like this show's promise. He didn't – there wasn't that much to it. I don't know. It can be true.
Or not. I don't
or
care.
Not. You can dislike somebody intensely. They can still say things that happen to be accurate on occasion. It doesn't. There are plenty of shyster lawyers out there. It doesn't mean they don't give out some good advice every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You may personally have great distaste for them or disdain for them. You may not want to ever have a beer with them. Doesn't mean. They're not right once in a while with their process.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no reason. See, the press really does itself a disservice when it does this kind of stuff because there was no reason to hook up their wagon to that team. They didn't
it's bizarre.
Didn't have to do it.
Well, but I would argue it's the same wagon that's been rolling down the road since the beginning of this whole thing. We're going to be like Italy. We were never going to be like Italy.
Right.
Never. It's just a different system. Right. And it's shitty. I'm sorry, but it's not as sophisticated as ours. It's not as huge as ours. And it was never going to happen. But they mandated – and New York was appropriate to shut down. But they mandated a shutdown in most of the states in the country. No. And we overshot by between 10 and 100. We were doing it to suppress the curve so we wouldn't exceed our bed capacity. Well, right. In California, we missed our bed capacity by a factor of 10. Couldn't we have done it with a factor of 5 and been okay? It just drags it out over a longer period of time.
We never
intended to decrease the number of cases. It was just not exceed the hospital capacity.
Well, listen to me. All the decrees start as something. They morph into something else, and either way, they begat more decrees and more just sort of oppression.
Well, so they go, look, we're just looking at the science. We're just looking at the science. Okay, now. Can I explain to you what the science is? We talked about this, right? You and I? I just don't remember if we talked. We must have talked about it on this show.
Go ahead.
But the science – so epidemiology and modeling around epidemics and around disease outbreaks is like predicting weather or markets.
Mm-hmm.
How often do the market predictions bear out?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, we talked about it. But yeah, it's the same thing. They don't know what they're talking about. In particular,
the whole idea of lockdown – was generated because of a high school project from a girl in Albuquerque in 2006. Her father – actually pulled the paper that her father published. She was the number two author on the paper. Fascinating. Mm. And he in his paper where he modeled off of her original story, it didn't include really locking down. But the Bush administration adopted sort of a modified version of that as their policy in 2006. So quarantining healthy people had never been used in the history of medicine except in the Middle Ages when it made things worse.
Right.
And now they have science from studies in China where they've studied thousands of patients. They've discovered that most outbreaks occur in the home, usually involves 3 to 5 people. Out of the many, many, many thousands that they studied, one out-of-door transmission.
Yeah.
One out-of-door transmission.
Oh, that reminds me. I forgot my mask.
That's the science. So
the
models
– Gary, you got to go home and get my mask.
You've seen all the models that have been wrong. Models do not predict the future. They've been wrong. They've been modified. They've been directive. The University of Washington has been very good in helping us sort of map out kind of where we are. But this isn't science. And the science, if you're really doing science, would tell you we don't know there's a difference between sheltering in place and just social distancing and using a mask. I was studying the 1918 flu over the weekend.
Yeah.
And they had a 100% success rate in preventing transmission with masks.
Mm.
No, they never considered lockdown in the 2018 flu. They just got everybody to wear masks. And that's what killed it off. That's what caused it to die out.
In what year?
Sorry. 1918.
It's interesting. The lockdown to me.
Well, it's non-scientific. So whenever they say it's science, no. Science would be let's move around, use social distancing and mask, and let's observe the outcome. And if we need to chase down little outbreaks, we do the way we've always done throughout the history of medicine.
Yes. I have been noticing that the government wants to stretch its legs a little bit.
Yeah.
And this is a good time to stretch your legs. And it's the ultimate sort of, who's in charge, I'm going to express some authority, stay in your home. I mean, if you really think about, you know, you saying, well, we're going to add.
How could you restrict freedoms more?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Is there something more you could do to restrict freedom? I guess actual jail.
Well, like, you know, Gavin Newsom, like adding a quarter cents tax to gasoline or preventing, you know, adding another regulation, another warning sticker on a Starbucks door. That gives him wood, but that's not a boner. That gives him a little leather, but that ain't full. You know, like outlawing straws or swizzle sticks or something. That'll get him in the leather phase, but locking people in their house and telling them what they can do and can't do on the beach, that's a full boner there. And you know these guys are full of shit because they're basically – look, if I'm – I have guys that I'm in charge of, and I tell those guys – all the time. Hey, do this, do that. Go, dip, 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 dip. Talk to that guy. Go get this thing. Go get it. Bring it over there. Fine. I'm telling them what to do, but I'm also paying them. But what if I wasn't paying? What if I wasn't paying them? Could I go over there and go, hey, go do this, go that, get the stuff, patch the roof? I could try, but what if I wasn't paying them and I just walked up to them and went, do push-ups, do push-ups. And they went, what? I go, do push-ups. Why? Because that's what I said.
Because I'm here. Because I'm the government.
Because I'm in charge. Because that's what the fucking beach is. Now here's – because in a weird way, unlocking the beach and then telling you what you can and can't do at the beach is much more insidious than just locking the beach off. Okay? No laying on the sand, but you can walk in the wet, but you can't walk in the dry, but you have to have a mask on unless you go in the water. You understand? That's just more rules.
More wood?
More wood, full boner. Bring your mask with you whenever you leave your home, Garcetti said. That will help us get more freedoms. Now, look, these guys are closer to Bernie than they were to Reagan. And Bernie would like little to no freedoms. You guys don't think of him that way. I don't know. Look. Who wants to tell you what to do? That's my whole thing. Somehow, in places that are governed like Texas, they don't want to tell you what to do to the degree they want you to tell me what to do in California. It's one way of governing versus another way of governing. You're going to have to decide which one you like. Many people I know in the Los Angeles area apparently like being told what to do. That's them. I don't like being told what to do because I'm not safety oriented. I guess if you're safety oriented, it makes you feel more secure when people tell you what to do. First things first, Gavin Newsom has a 10-cent head. That guy shouldn't be telling a Weebelo scout troop what to do. He's not a bright person. He sat in the chair next to you. I engaged him in a debate for an hour. He's not bright. He has platitudes. He has attitudes. He doesn't have answers. He has no answers. When I asked him about traffic, he explained to me he liked the bumper sticker he saw.
You're the traffic.
Thank you, Joe.
Sorry.
Saying, you're the traffic. That doesn't seem to be an answer to traffic. When I was asking about check cashing places, you know, preying on brown and black people, he had no answers. He's not a bright person. He's not an answer oriented person. Now,
well, they've gone weirdly into outer space. I spoke to the.
He's not as dumb as Via Retardo before him was, but that guy Via. All right, Via Retardo, who came before him, was bona fide dumb. Newsom is just politician dumb.
I spoke to someone from the budget committee for our state, and they were like, well, yeah, we need $50 billion. The government just got to print that money and give it to us. I'm like, right. You're the budget committee. Where do you think – so you just hand that debt to your children? That's okay? That your children are going to pay for –
Well, with the climate change, our children aren't going to see their 15th birthday. So what do you care about handing debt to them? Oh, Jerry Brown. Oh, sorry, not Newsom. Yeah, I was thinking of Garcetti. Thank you. Garcetti came before. And Garcetti doesn't strike me as dumb. He is a huge pussy, which is makes you dumb, but makes you act dumb, but he's not dumb. And in my estimation, I don't know much about him. So
he seems to be disconnected from reality right now to me. I God bless him, but he needs to get with it. Do you know they had a requirement in the state to be able to open up restaurants to 25% capacity that you'd have to have no more than, in a county the size of Riverside or L.A., no more than one death in 14 days. That's never.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's a pussy.
That will never happen.
Well, he's a pussy. I don't think that was Newsom's.
That was Newsom's thing. Oh, Garcetti just grabbed it. Like, oh, of course, right. Yeah.
So Jerry Brown, the former governor, he wasn't dumb. He was an ideologue. He just had an idea. He was sort of Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. Like he had an idea on how to do things, which is not good for a state, but didn't make him dumb. Gavin Newsom, he's just a used car salesman. He just wants to be in power and say things and have press conferences. He doesn't have real ideas, and whatever ideas he has are damaging. Garcetti's a pussy, but not dumb, just a puss who then makes bad decisions based on coming at it from a scared angle. And then Villaraigosa, that guy was a flat-out fucking cinder block of – he had no brains. And by the way, you know what I say about people all the time? Like I'll do that. Remember I'll tell you about guys who aren't funny?
Yeah.
And you go, when's that guy going to make a comeback? And I go, never. Villaraigosa ran the seventh largest economy in Los Angeles, California, or Los Angeles, a city in California. And he ran this place for 8 years. We'll never hear from that guy again. You think he had some sort of unbridled potential that he's not living up to? He's a fucking idiot. I said he was an idiot. I always told you guys he was a fucking idiot. What's he doing? What's he doing now? What's his job? He's out changing the world? Oh, Elon Musk is blowing up his phone. He wants to get him to lead up his whole tunneling group so we can tunnel through the Santa Susana Pass. Do you think he's doing anything? Why isn't he doing anything? When you take guys that are funny, guys that are talented, guys that are smart, guys whatever, and they get clipped, like they lose their job over here, like, oh, he lost his head coaching job over here. They go to another franchise and build a dynasty. Don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Well, where's the guy who ran Los Angeles for 8 years? What's he up to?
He's advising the multi-level marketing campaign for Herbalife.
Oh.
He's a fucking idiot. He's an idiot. And we voted him.
If you wrote that in a script, you couldn't go for the better job, right? If you were scripting that.
That's so great.
I would think you were making it up.
I'm looking at it right here.
Wow.
Yeah. And he's like, we voted him in because he's a Democrat. It's okay. He's an idiot. But yeah, that's who we vote for. Idiots. Okay. Well, what's he up to? He's up to nothing because he's a fucking 10 cent head. All right. I love him dearly, though. There's a lot of respect for him. All right. You can go to adamcarolla.com and find out where I'm going to be doing stand-up all over the place. Apparently, I just looked up there. I'm going to Michigan, Kansas City, Minneapolis. I'm your emotional support animal. Is very easy to find and pre-order at Amazon. Bookmark us. Click through and check out our YouTube page. Lots of stand-up there. Go ahead, Drew.
Pods on the streams are at drdrew.com. Also, check out my YouTube page, youtube.com/drdrew, and facebook.com/drdrew. We've got all the streams going on there.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla, Dr. Drew, say mahalo.